Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, I did not see this happening. One down, 16 to go. Not a great ball game, to say the least, yesterday for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Really, from the get-go, you blink twice, you're down 14-0. The Ty Taylor-led Houston offense dominant on this first Sunday as we make our way through the National Football League season. Great to have you with us alongside R.J. Saunders. I am Rick Ballew for the next 2 hours. We are ready to go. Observations, analysis, criticisms, maybe a silver lining. I don't know. We'll see where we go with it. But for starters, I'm really surprised. And that's the most difficult part about all of this, all right? I didn't witness any of it during training camp. I didn't sense it during the preseason. It looked like an organized football team. It looked like a group despite a rookie quarterback, and I say despite because rookies are going to make mistakes, and you saw that with Trevor Lawrence yesterday. He missed quite a few wide receivers, threw three interceptions. It's going to happen, all right? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I told you that. Hey, I'll stick my neck out, all right? I don't have much of a neck anymore anyway, RJ. I don't know if you've noticed. When you turn 50, I think something happens to your spine and, like, your neck begins to disintegrate and your head literally falls right into your shoulders.
No, that's normally what happens when you start pumping iron and getting that burn.
Well, I'm doing
it.
Your
shoulders are too big.
No.
And now it's hiding your neck because of all the muscle that you've put on.
I mean, I used to be 5'10". I refuse to get measured now. I'm guessing I'm about 5'9", maybe 5'9 and a quarter, because that is just what's happened. My neck has disappeared, and my head is totally shrunk into the shoulders. But anyway, getting back to what I was attempting to say here until I was rudely interrupted by R.J. Saunders. I'm just seeing if you're listening or if you got like Kanye on there or, you know, Eddie Money died 2 years ago today. Maybe, baby, hold on to me. Whatever will be, will be.
Whatever like, can we will just, be, will be.
Yeah, let's do some Eddie Money tonight, huh? Can you believe it's already been 2 years since the money man left, who had the greatest logo ever for a golf ball? Just simply a picture of the dollar sign.
That's crazy. I mean, it's still crazy just how many people passed away within the last couple of years. I mean, icons, you know, Eddie Money, Kobe, people of that ilk. It's crazy that they're not with us anymore.
I saw Eddie Money in a free concert back when Fort Lauderdale was the spring break haven. I want to say it was spring of 86, maybe spring of 87. Anyway, Trevor Lawrence wasn't even born then. You weren't even born then. Trevor Lawrence is not the issue here. What I'm trying to state is how disorganized they were was completely baffling to me. I mean, I thought I knew a little bit about this football team. It's my job to cover them. And that was a total shock. They looked as though they hadn't practiced with one another. It looked as though they added, you know, 7 or 8 players on the offense, as well as 7 or 8 players on the defense after the original 53-man roster was assembled. And these were guys they picked up or, you know, they claimed off the waiver wire. It was just a whole bunch of not being able to line up correctly. A forced early timeout because, you know, the clock was going to run out. Once again, the continuous problems with that offensive line where, you know, you have false starts, you have holdings, you name it, you had it. It took away 2 positive rushing plays, which were first downs early in the game. If you look at James Robinson and you look at Carlos Hyde, and, you know, you end up getting the final numbers, and you see 51 passes for Trevor Lawrence. You're never going to win in this league with 51 total passes. It's not going to happen, especially when you look at your running backs and they end up getting the rock 14 times. Only 5 carries for James Robinson. It makes very little sense to me. All right, 9 for Carlos Hyde, who, you know, carried the ball certainly the majority of the time in the second half. So, you know, really the only thing I could take out of this is that old adage that the most improvement any team will make is between week 1 and week 2. Remember this particular fact. For you as a Jaguar fan, this is your 16th loss in a row. For Urban Meyer and his staff, this is one game. So I think that means a little something. But it's going to be a very intriguing week. Denver's coming in here, a team that can run the football, and a team that certainly plays outstanding defense. Von Miller had a couple of sacks last week. We know all about Vic Fangio, who's one of the better defensive minds in the last 25 years and some change in the NFL. It'll be very difficult to turn things on for the Jaguars coming up on week 2. But for starters, I think a lot of this is fixable. You've got to put together a better game plan. I mean, from the moment that Urban Meyer got here, what did he tell us? He told us how important it was in the ditch. He specified getting what he believes is a good personnel on the defensive line. And he kept telling us time and again, I want to run the ball, I want to run the ball. Again, 51-16, you take away that carry by Chenault, which was the longest of the game. Actually, Hyde had one for 13 yards. But the Chenault 9-yard carry, and Trevor Lawrence, who ran it only once, I mean, only 14 carries by your tailbacks. It's got to be more of a balanced attack where the Jaguars do come out and try to do some things offensively to set some sort of a tempo. And if you can run the football, that is a success that any good football team will have, whether it's college or pro. If you can run the ball, it changes everything. Now, at least they attempted to do some things and throw the football downfield. We have seen way too much of insert your quarterback, and it's the dinking and the dunking, and you're going against the chains. I didn't have problems with Trevor Lawrence throwing the 3 picks. I told all of you to play over 12. And frankly, I wanted it to be over 12 for this very reason. I want him to take some chances. The training wheels are off. I mean, they threw him out there and they said, here you go. Go win the football game. It didn't work out that way. There were a lot of drops. There was a ton of miscommunication. I thought it was, you know, poor balance offensively, but at least you can take that from it, that he looks like the part. He's nowhere near perfect. And I can give you Troy Aikman's numbers when he was 1-15, and I can tell you that Peyton Manning in 98 went 21-37 for 302, one touch, 3 picks, and a loss to Miami. And I can tell you that Andrew Luck in 2012 went 23-45 for 309, a touchdown, had 3 picks in a loss to the Chicago Bears. I can tell you that you got to go back to 2002, the first overall quarterback won his first start. David Carr in 2002 with Houston. 14 straight quarterbacks now have lost their first start. So in a way, it was expected. I know not around here. Hell, I picked Jacksonville. I'm not going to try to, you know, step out and say, hey, you know, I'll admit it. I thought they would win this game. This was a wounded Houston team. They played with a lot of pride. Ty Taylor did some good things. They ran the football effectively. They played timely defense. And a lot of those veterans there, 31 new players on that Texans team, played like this is their last opportunity in the NFL. Again, how many more opportunities is Tyrod Taylor going to get once his career ends in Houston? So a lot of guys living on the last opportunity, and I think that played into it just a little bit. So, you know, my final opinion there on Trevor Lawrence, I know social media, I understand the way that people are going to react. I'm not down on what he did, and I would much rather have him go out and take some chances and make some mistakes. All you got to do, and we'll play a little bit for you coming up on the other side, but all you have to do is listen to the way that Trevor Lawrence conducted himself in the postgame presser, and man, that's the mark of a champion. That's the mark of a leader. All right? There weren't any excuses. There wasn't any pointing fingers at someone else. He did a nice job putting it on himself and saying that he hates to lose. And you really get the feeling that he is such an incredible competitor that he's going to do everything to make this, enforce this change. But it's not going to happen overnight. So I'm happy that Trevor Lawrence threw it. And I much rather would have had that than, again, dinking and dunking and all that intermediate stuff. That would have been difficult to handle. Despite the numbers, despite everything else, I thought Trevor Lawrence was good. And I know this, he is absolutely going to get better. All right, we got plenty to get into tonight. As a matter of fact, Miller Electric is going to give us our Jaguars recap, which I will do in its entirety. And, you know, we'll come back and we'll do that on the other side. You're going to hear from Urban Meyer. You're going to hear from Trevor Lawrence. So we look forward to doing that. The best way for you to always get a hold of us here on the program is on the text line, which is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010. Also on Twitter, Blue1010XL. Opening segment brought to you by my good friend Lou Bodie of Capital Financial Strategies. Here we are now heading towards the middle part of September. Is your money working for you? Okay, is it growing? Ask yourself that question. The biggest mistake I made was not getting with Lou Bodie earlier in my lifetime. Been with him now for a couple of years, and it's sensational. He's the senior financial advisor for over 20 years, again, with Capital Financial Strategies. His practice is centered on financial planning and education for his clients. This includes strategies on investments and retirement. Give Lou a call today, 626-7995. Call him right now. 626-7995, free consultation, and watch your money. In my case, I'm watching it grow. I'd like you to take advantage of this opportunity. Give Lou Bodie a call, 626-7995. We are underway just barely on a Monday. We got a lot to do up until 8 o'clock. Alongside RJ Saunders, I'm the truth teller, Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's good to have you with us. 20 past 6. We go till 8 tonight. Jaguars. Tough loss on opening day. 10 penalties, 82 yards, 7 in the first half. It was just a difficult pill to swallow. You know, illegal participation, too many in the huddle. Guys coming in and out, lining up issues. So let's discuss our Jags recap brought to you by the Miller Electric Company. Check out their website. Let's go to Miller Electric. Unbelievable. The job opportunities that are there for you right now. You're struggling. You need a change of career. Regardless of what it is, just go to their website and you talk about what they've been able to do, whether it's the stadium or the bridges, or just about anything that you see with the massive amounts of construction that continues to go on throughout Duval. It's got Miller Electric written all over it. Really good people, and they've been here in Jacksonville for decades. Again, just go to their website. That is Miller Electric right here in Jacksonville. All right, let's we got a lot to do here. You know, and there's a lot of fingers that we can point towards as to, you know, who's to blame and all of this and all of that. And I understand that in the world of immediacy, people want results right out of the gate. And at this particular time, I'm not sure what I should say to try to soothe that for you, because I'm going to put up my hand and tell you that I thought they were going to win this game. I'm completely baffled by just how disorganized as a football team they were. I also believe this. This is a club that right now has to take advantage of everything that comes their way. An early pick, first drive on a three and out. Shaq Griffin's got to make that play. I mean, you have to. Just think about it that way. What if he picks that off and it's 7-0? I know we can spend the whole night of shouldas, couldas, wouldas, but you understand where I'm going with this? You have to make that play. You can't have five drops in the first half. No. I mean, we've heard about how poor the tight end situation is. It's the worst position group on this roster. James O'Shaughnessy can't drop a ball. He's pretty limited with what he can do. He's got to catch the ball. DJ Chark, what was that? I mean, lifeless. No energy in that first half drop. I was like, is this the same DJ Chark? He's in a contract year. He said all the right things after he was called out by Urban Meyer. Now, you know, a little bit later on, and we saw a nice pass there by Lawrence when he threw the touchdown strike to DJ Chark, and he threw another nice strike to Chris Manhertz. Again, it wasn't a completely lost afternoon for Trevor Lawrence. Those are a couple of examples of things that he did well. Allowing a 52-yard pass with 12 seconds left at half? No, you can't allow that. Ke'Lavon Chase on had an opportunity for two sacks. At one point had him in the ground. You got to make plays. That's what I'm trying to say. We're no longer at the level where effort means something. Okay. High school football, effort means something. In a lot of aspects, when you get to college, you play college football, effort means something. Not at this level. You got to make plays. You have to make plays. And in these situations right here, Jacksonville had an opportunity to make plays and they didn't make them. So just ask yourself that. What if it is a pick six by Shaq Griffin? You know, what happens after the fact? And as a sideline reporter, I'll tell you something. They're down 14-0. They were a little rattled, but the juice wasn't eliminated. The intensity was still there. Then they scored. And I'm like, it's back. You know, this sideline looks pretty good right now. Yeah, they're down by a score on the road, but it's not as bad as maybe you will think. And then again, they let it get away from them. And the big blow was the aforementioned 52-yard pass with 12 seconds left, man. You can't let things like that happen. We also saw that there are rookies playing on this football team, and they were hyped up massively, myself included. Absolutely will be, you know, a part of that. And yeah, I've been doing this since training camp out there. I got here in 96, since training camp in 97. And I like talk to myself about it every year. Don't overdo it, Baloo. Don't overdo it. It's hard not to. You know why? These are professionals. And when you're out there and you're watching only professionals, they look good. They're supposed to look good. That's why I love it when you get an opportunity to work against another team. You get a much better feel. And I think that opening game, that preseason matchup against Cleveland, was a little bit humbling in a lot of aspects. And then again, they opened it up against Dallas in preseason game number 3. And all the naysayers, all the people that were up against it and said, you know, here we go again, here we go again, had a comfortable feeling heading into this one. Fans were incredible, man. I have never seen so many fans on the road. I mean, I feel like they had 30, 35% of that stadium. They were loud. They did their part. They thought that they were going to be able to go out and get a win and go to 1-0 on the year. But the point I'm trying to make is that this football team is not good enough to not take advantage of opportunities. You know, I'm going to talk about Florida State here in a little bit. Two drop touchdown passes. Travis J with an opportunity for an easy interception. He didn't hang on to it. Okay, that's college football. And that's going to happen in college. You know, I'll take you back to Jalen Ramsey when Florida State's 29-game win streak was snapped. Jalen, it hit him right in the chest for Marcus Mariota out at the Rose Bowl. Jalen picks that ball off. He goes 100 yards for a touchdown. He didn't. Two plays later, Oregon scored. Let's do the math here. You take away seven, you add seven. That's 14 points. Okay? That's a stake, a wooden stake through the heart. That's a 14-point swing. The great Jalen Ramsey. You got to make plays. The rookies, we talked a lot about Trevor Lawrence. It was not a great debut for Tyson Campbell. He was really picked apart in the slot. Yeah, I didn't think that I would get out of game one saying this team really misses Trey Herndon. And where are you, Sidney Jones? I mean, you got a sixth round pick for Sidney Jones, but Tyson Campbell, again, the effort was there, the production was not. I'm not giving up on him. It was only his first game. We didn't see a lot of Andre Sisco. Andrew Wingard patrolled the safety position. And, you know, we got it late from him. Urban Meyer today said that Andre Sisco is on a pitch count. And, you know, he's still coming back from that torn ACL, so we're going to see a little bit more of him on a week-to-week basis. But right now, it's just not there. So I remember evaluating this rookie class and thinking, how unbelievable is this first class? Trevor Lawrence is going to be a generational guy. Travis Etienne is someone, you know, they just got to find a way to get him the ball. Tyson Campbell is going to be a shutdown corner. Walker Little, I mean, before you know it, they're going to have Walker Little's number retired up there next to Tony Boselli. He's going to be the dominant left tackle that his organization has needed forever. And you can keep on going down the list. Not yesterday. No. Didn't work out that way. Heck, Little wasn't even active. The Jaguars only went with two backup offensive linemen. That was it yesterday. Actually, three. You had Bart, you had Chatley, and you had Richardson. So my apologies there. But I thought for sure Walker Little would have been a part of it. The rushing defense, 160 yards allowed. I give you the numbers week to week. Last year they allowed 153.3. You rewind the tape, probably any show I've done over the last couple of months. Talked about how you got to stop the run. And I thought, based on the preseason, not so much what we saw during games, but what I witnessed in practice, that this would have been a much improved unit when it came to defending the run. Okay? It wasn't. They ran right at Jacksonville. Now, you know, 41 carries, 160 yards. You take away that 29-yard run by Ty Taylor, it wasn't a bad afternoon. It would have been, what, 40 carries, 100 and, you know, what, 20 yards, or 130 yards, excuse me, 131 exactly is what it would have been. So that's an average of a little bit less than four. But they all count. You can't take away the 29-yarder. It's part of it. I mean, they force-fed these running backs 41 times. And they rotated four guys. And for the most part, you know, they did a nice job. As a matter of fact, I want to say that Burkhead, he had one carry and that was called back. I think Burkhead had a reception. So it was basically the three guys. Ingram, who they really used, especially deep in the fourth quarter, which surprised me a little bit. I thought they would have given it to, you know, Lindsey or Johnson or Burkhead with that game for the most part. Well, not for the most part. It was clearly over at that particular time. So there you go. I mean, I'm not as down in the dumps as a lot of you are. Okay? I think a lot of these issues can be fixed. And I want to look at it this way. This is an immediate wake-up call. And that's scary, okay? Because if you look at their schedule, I mean, it's going to be brutal when you get to that midway point through the year, you know, when they get back from London and some of those trips they have. I mean, this is supposed to be the early part of the schedule. Most people had them 3-1 or 2-2. How many of you now, based on one game, are saying, well, they're going to be 0-2? And how many of you people right now, after one game, are saying, where are they going to win on this schedule? That's the league. And that's how fast things can change. But many of these wounds are self-inflicted. It looked to me like, offensively, they were doing a lot of different packages. Their offensive schemes didn't seem to align one play after another. Was there a little bit too much from Daryl Bevel offensively? Was he trying to be too cute against this Houston defense? Again, they were completely out of sorts. They couldn't line up the right way. And both offensively and defensively, they struggled to have the right personnel on the field. That is incredibly alarming to me. I think that will change. I do. But I also want to see how things like this are going to be handled. Because Jacksonville, despite their success or despite their lack of it, is always among one of the most penalized teams in the NFL. I really believe that would change with Urban Meyer. Now, I'm not going to crush him based on one game. He deserves a season. We deserve an opportunity to try to figure out what's going on. But I wonder what the recourse is when they watch film and they go over it, especially with that offensive line, which returns intact for a third year. 51 dropbacks, one sack. That's okay. There were, what, four quarterback hits? There were quite a few pressures. I read earlier today that A.J. Cann allowed 7 pressures. I think you got to put him on the hot seat, right? 7 pressures? Is it time for Ben Bartsch? We shall see. But, what are they going to do? Winder had a penalty. Cam had a couple that I believe were declined. Taylor had a few. You're getting penalties all across that offense. What are they going to do about it? You know, Doug Marrone has spent the last couple of years saying, that's on me. We got to do a better job. Let's play Urban Meyer's very first one from today when he talked about the penalties. This is what the head coach of the Jaguars had to say about yesterday. And again, a 10-penalty, 82-yard effort, including 7 first-half penalties.
I think the self-inflicted, I think we had 7 penalties in the first 3 or 4 drives, and I thought we're moving the ball. I thought, and then all of a sudden you look up and you see that damn penalty flag, and so we just, and somewhere just, it just can't happen. So that was the biggest disappointment, and then all of a sudden you get out of your rhythm running the ball, and you look up and you're down a couple scores, and, you know, drop back or throwing 51 passes, you know, that's not what we got to be.
Kind of goes back to what I said there a moment ago. You have to take advantage of everything. You can't make those type of mistakes. That was a nice game by Carlos Hyde. Nice game by James Robinson. I mean, get the running attack going. Find a way to have a balanced offense. That defense pinned back their ears and was getting after Trevor Lawrence. You know, something else kind of lost in all this. I thought Trevor played and did some really nice things in the pocket. I mean, look at his presence. He wasn't scared. He didn't have happy feet. He wasn't like Blaine Gabbert, you know, looking to get clocked from behind. And he's only going to get better. Now, I would like to see Trevor Lawrence use his athleticism Yeah, there were a couple of times where I absolutely believed he could have tucked it and ran, picked up some yards, maybe even a first down. Now, I don't know what the message is. Maybe they told him, don't run it. Get rid of the ball. We don't want you getting injured. I can't believe it was said in that way, but, you know, perhaps when push comes to shove, you know, only run if it's the only thing remaining. Again, and I'm just thinking out loud. I haven't been told that that has happened. I know a lot of you out there would completely disagree with it, but he is a very athletic guy, and he didn't showcase any of that in this football game. That was a surprise to me. All right, let's get some thoughts from you on it. 641-1010. You're going to hear more from Urban Meyer. You're going to hear more from Trevor Lawrence as well. Thank you to the good folks at Miller Electric for recapping the Jaguars' 37-21 loss week one in Houston. Right now, they're somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 5.5-point underdog. Denver coming into town Sunday at 1. Broncos got a nice win in New York, had to fly all the way across the country, fly all the way home. They got to fly all the way back down here this weekend. And it'll be interesting how things change, because last week here in town, I don't know of anyone who picked Houston. Do you know of anyone who picked Houston?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, you're going to see that reverse. All of a sudden, everyone's going to pick Denver now, after what they witnessed. And I just wonder if that has any bearing at all. Does it have any effect at all? I don't think it does as much professionally as it does in the college world. See Florida State, for example. But it's going to be interesting to see how things are in that particular way. How aware are they? Because you know the tempo has changed in just 1 week. All right, we got much more to do. It's great to have you with us alongside RJ Saunders. My name is Rick Ballew.
Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's what we need. We just need a loud at this particular point. It's basically all you can ask for. All right, much more coming up on the Jaguars. I do want to remind you, tonight's show brought to you by the good folks over at Key Buick GMC. They are also your service headquarters, fast and convenient. Now is the time to service your vehicle for holiday traveling. As always, complimentary pickup and drop-off. Key Buick GMC. We are professional grade right across the street from Tinseltown. That is south side in Gate. All right, I want to get to Tallahassee. I probably just selfishly to make myself feel a little bit better. That's the beauty of having a microphone, having this outlet. It's better than any drug. I find that I always feel better after these type of conversations, even if it's one that I'm having with myself. Okay. Saturday night was the worst loss in the history of Florida State. We have the sound. Do we really need to hear it? Let's go to the Golden Throat himself, Gene Deckerhoff, former first-round draft pick, fullback William Floyd.
Get a first down right now. They still got a chance, I guess, to call the timeout to try to get their kicking team out there.
Six. Here's the snap. Throwing the deep bomb down the far sideline. Caught ball at the 10-yard line to the 5-yard line.
Are you serious?
Jacksonville State with no time left.
I just said keep everything in front of you.
The Gamecocks have taken the lead and will win this ballgame 20-17. And the Gamecocks are going crazy. How about that?
Careful, William. I hope you don't get fired like my friend Peter Tom Willis did. PT spoke his mind, and he ended up getting shown the door. We'll see what happens there with would bar none. But I sense your frustration because it was so basic, so easy, so understandable. Football 101. And then for Mike Norvell to double down on it after the game is beyond irritating. It's beyond frustrating. It's one thing to make a completely egregious mistake. It's another thing to say to your fan base, it was the right call. We have learned now in consecutive weeks that this is a horribly coached football team. I took a tremendous amount of crap last week for my tweets during the loss to Notre Dame because I saw it, and it was a bad product. And the effort was phenomenal by the players. And I tweeted out that the players are better than the coaches. Well, this week the effort wasn't there. You can go to that particular play. Look at Jamie Robinson, number 10. Jogging. It's his guy went down there and making one of those key blocks. If he went 100% on that final play, chances are he makes the tackle. He quit. Okay? Final play of the game. And he quit. Here's what you need to know. Number one, you can't fire Mike Norvell. Florida State doesn't have the money. Think of things as a business. Think of a mom-and-pop restaurant. Think of you have a plumbing business. You have a roofing business. I mean, think of anything along those lines. It's a business. No one runs a business worse than Florida State. They keep Mickey Mousing us with presidents and athletic directors, and they make the wrong decision after the wrong decision. They can't afford, financially now. Also, no one cries poor like Florida State. I mean, you got, actually, I won't even go there. That would be unruly, even for me. But no one cries poor like Florida State. Do you have any idea how damaging that loss was to Florida State Saturday night, financially speaking? My guess is millions of dollars. Here's what happened. Florida State fell into a trap once again of listening to their fan base and listening to their media. They were crowned moral victors against Notre Dame, and it boiled my freaking blood. They were given a moral victory, and they're not smart enough. And I'm not talking about smart as far as, book smart. I'm talking about maturity-wise, street sense-wise. You get on campus, oh, you guys should have beat Notre Dame. You almost beat Notre Dame. You're going to kill Jacksonville State. They're not mature enough. They're not old enough yet. Coaches go crazy about this. This happens all the time. Directional school, some, team that is a 4 or 5 touchdown underdog comes in and play. We always talk about playing to the level of your competition. Coaches hate this because for one reason or another, in a lot of instances, college coaches and programs fall into this category. And it's happened around Florida State forever. I mean, last year, this same team shut out Florida State for 23 minutes. Last year, this same team was up 14-0. I mean, 2 years ago, Florida State had to win in overtime 45-44 over Louisiana Monroe. Had to pull it out in overtime. 3 years ago, they just barely walked by Samford. So, I mean, the writing's on the wall. And I know people, again, you want change. You can't fire the head coach. But it is beyond insane for Adam Fuller and Mike Norvell to line up the defense the way that they did on that final play. I mean, it is as if they have absolutely no idea how to defend a goal line in a prevent. He had to throw it 60 yards. He threw it about 45. How do you allow in a, you know, a two deep with a man underneath, how do you allow a guy to get behind you? That's the only thing you can't do. I mean, you teach that in high school football. You can't allow, and this, it's not like he ran a tricky route. He ran a go route. He just ran right by him. So here's what happens, and this is what is going to cost Florida State millions and millions of dollars. I'll just take myself for example. Every year, you know, and I just lost the godfather, Jim Kane, rest in peace, but every year the four of us go. All right, I'm the designated driver. We go to a game at Florida State. I don't party because the next day, obviously, I'm on the sideline here for the Jags. But I get the best seats in the house. They usually cost $250 a whack. That's $1,000 right there. That's $1,000. And then all the entertainment that goes with it, if we get a hotel room on a Friday night or if we drive over on Saturday, everything from parking to food to cocktails. So, you know, there's one example right there. I go over there for a day. I spend $2,000. You think I'm going to spend my money on that sorry-ass product now? You think I'm going to unload $2,000 on a coaching staff that is so inept? Now? No. I'll watch the game for free on TV. I'll sit right at home, watch the game on TV. And you know what? There's going to be thousands and thousands of people like me that are going to do the exact same thing. They're going to say, screw this. This is what you're giving us, Florida State. You go from Willie Taggart to this, a man who was completely in over his head. And I wanted this man, I wanted Mike Norvell to change this thing around. Well, shame on the Florida State media for crowning them, again, as moral victors. I'm not going to rip the fan base. Okay, I've had enough problems with Florida State fans over the years. I'm not going to rip you. If you want to go over there and spend money, good. I mean, I wish you would. They're not getting any of my cabbage. But here's what needs to happen right now for Florida State more than anything. They need to fire Adam Fuller. He is garbage. I can't think of a better word to describe him than garbage. He is a terrible defensive coordinator. Bring Randy Shannon down from the analytics booth or whatever the heck his title is right now. Adam Fuller is part of the buddy movement. He's never been in the Power Five. He's never been in a big conference. He's been at Assumption and, you know, some of these other minor schools. I went through his resume a week ago. Hell, I don't even remember it. Defensive coordinator at Memphis. Come on. He's totally, absolutely 100% overmatched. That is the change that needs to be made, okay? Adam Fuller needs to be fired right now as the defensive coordinator at Florida State. Last, the love for Milton is over, okay? He can't throw. It's a nice story. I hate to be the one. Mackenzie Milton can't throw a football. He can't. Go back and watch him. Now, there were some costly drops. Helton had one early that should have been a touchdown. And, you know, he pounded himself on the chest and said, that's me, that's me, that's me. Well, you made a huge drop. Okay? McLean had one as well. Malik McLean, who I actually think has an opportunity to be a pretty good football player. There's very little separation right now, skill-wise, at wide receiver. And then they went by committee. How can you, when you're at the goal line, not give the ball to your best offensive player in Corbin and instead, he's on the bench. I mean, he was the one guy that was running the football effectively all day, but I don't know what the hell is. I remember this years ago when Florida State was relevant. I'll never forget the day that Leon Washington had it going. But, you know, for one reason or another, Billy Sexton had that rotation. So he gave the ball to Lorenzo Booker. And on that day, Lorenzo Booker, there was no way that he could run. He wasn't nearly as effective, nearly as good as Leon Washington. And Sexton went to him, and they lost. I think it was late at class. I don't remember what the game was. How Florida State's lost so freaking much over the last 10, 15 years. I don't even know when the hell that game was. But I remember being completely incensed by it. You know, you go with the hot hand. Corbin's the hot hand. Go with, what the hell are you doing running a fade on fourth and the goal line to a guy that has, what, three career receptions in college football? So it's a comedy of errors. It's a tremendous amount of mistakes. But where Florida State is at right now, all of the hope, all of the promise is gone, is lost. And it's the coaching staff's fault. Here's the problem. You can't fire Mike Norvell. They can't afford it. You're stuck with him. It's like I feel for you people out there who are in a bad divorce. So, oh, I'm staying married because we can't afford to get divorced. Oh, I'm staying married because it's good for the kids. Yet you're miserable. That's where you are right now as a Florida State fan. You can't afford to divorce Mike Norvell. But you sure as hell can fire Adam Fuller. Lost in all this is a second touchdown, 17-7. Then that long drive to make it 17-14. Fourth quarter touchdown for a second consecutive week. There was not a Florida State defender within 20 yards of the kid who caught that second touchdown. We saw it in the very first drive last week by Notre Dame. Not within 20 yards. I mean, this didn't happen under Charles Kelly. This didn't happen under any of the defensive coordinators. They are completely, absolutely out of it on that side of the football. And it's too bad because they got a couple of nice players, including Jermaine Johnson. Now, if I was Jermaine Johnson right now, you know what I'd be thinking? I'd be thinking opt out and go to the draft. Why ruin my stock? He's playing like a monster. And if the guys around him don't care, you know, why should he? So that's where you're at. You can't afford the divorce Mike Norvell right now. You're stuck with him. You put the damn ring on his finger. Adam Fuller, time to hit the bricks.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Baby, hold on to me. Yeah, it's tough to believe it's been 2 years since Eddie Money died. Former Detroit cop. I know he died in L.A., but I thought, I was told by a few people that he was actually living out in Palm Coast, so right down the road. Anyway, good rocker from the 70s and the 80s, 2 years that he has been gone. That is Eddie Money. Getting a lot of response from you. 641-1010, that is a number. All right, Clay Helton already out, fired. Now, this rolls in a little bit ago, head coach at Southern Cal. It will be Dante Williams taking over on the interim. Tim Brando had that game on Saturday night late, Pac-12 after dark. We talked to Timmy B about it from the Coliseum last Friday. We'll talk to Tim Brando as well this Friday. Again, our Friday show for another 8 Fridays will be 3 to 6 on AM. 10-10 only for another 8 weeks. And then after that, we will get back to our Friday night show beginning at 6 o'clock. But he was 46-24. You know, I'm just looking at USC compared to the beloved. And, you know, there's a school with a tremendous amount of money and more prominent alumni. They can afford to whack a coach and start all over again, and certainly they have. I mean, they've made a lot of mistakes both with athletic directors, Pat Hayden, Lynn Swan, and now Mike Bone and is in place. But you can go from Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian and all the mistakes that they've made there. How about Texas getting just destroyed by Arkansas? I was watching that game as well. We were in Houston, so there are a lot of Texas Longhorn fans. And I end up going to this bar, watching it and enjoying it with a couple of Florida State buddies, and it ended up being the same bar that had the Bold City Brigade. So there were about 300 Jaguar fans in this place. It was pretty incredible, but that was a blow. But just look at USC. I mean, right now they feel like they're bottom feeders. And this guy was 46-24. Can you imagine being 46-24 since 2016 over at Florida State? I mean, who'd sign up for that right now after what FSU has gone through? So we'll see what happens. The only reason why I don't like firing a coach this early, I mean, they've played a couple of games, is you're USC. And now, I mean, you continuously make the wrong hire for one reason or another. I think we both agree that Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian can absolutely coach. But it didn't work out for different reasons. Okay? Lane Kiffin? Is there one Florida State fan who's alive right now that would not personally drive to Tallahassee and drive Mike Norvell to Oxford, Mississippi if you could pick up Lane Kiffin and bring him back to God's country? Is there one? Is there one Florida State fan alive who wouldn't do that? It used to be the punchline. Guess what? He can coach. Back at USC, he was a little young, a little crazy, yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to get any of that type of stuff, but the maturation process has apparently happened there for him. So that's the only reason why I don't like this. You know, Dante Williams is going to serve as the interim. What if they win a few games? You know, the team's going to say we want them. You saw that effect with Odell Higgins. Odell Higgins has no business being considered as a head coach at Florida State. But, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle a couple of times. Jimbo, when he quit, he took over. Willie Taggart, you know, crapped in his pants. So, no. His defensive line has been terrible really since the national title outside of this Jermaine Johnson kid. Is really playing some good football. But that would be my major concern for Southern Cal. You need to get the right coach. Okay? You can't promote a guy from within. You can't go, you know, directional school here, non-mid-major coach. No. You are Southern Cal. Go get one of the top 10 coaches in college football. Go get him.
Well, I don't know if you've seen what's been trending on Twitter as far as who people believe USC should go after.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to take a guess, or would you like for me to tell you just straight out?
Let me guess here. Just let me think. You know, it's funny because we were actually talking about this a little bit yesterday with a proud USC alum, Tony Baselli, who is on the Jaguars radio broadcast team, and just the overall vibe there. But we didn't get into any candidates. Let me think out loud here. USC, is there an NFL guy that's available? You know what? Don't say Urban Meyer.
Well, if he lost his first game against the Houston Texans, you are correct, with over 7,000 tweets about who should be the next head coach of USC or who is going to leave abruptly and go to USC. It is the one, Urban Meyer.
You know, we run VSiN here when we're not doing local shows. I happen to love VSiN. I watch it when I wake up, which for my vigorous day, what I like to do, RJ, is I have the alarm. It goes off around 11. okay? I usually, because it takes me a while to come to, I usually get a 10 to 15 minute solid back scratch to about 11:10, 11:15. Then I make my way. It's the long, long pilgrimage to the bathroom and then to the Lazy Boy where I slurp down a couple of big cups of coffee.
Black.
Absolutely. And yes. You know what I'm watching? VEASAN.
Yes. And NFL Network.
Well, yeah, I go to NFL Network at 1.
Okay.
I like to watch about 90 minutes or so of VEASAN because even though I don't gamble, and I don't, I'm getting crushed early on this year, too. It's a good thing I don't gamble. Maybe you should just listen to my picks and go the other way. We're not even talking about the points, Brent. But they were talking about it today. And they were coming out saying they believe Urban Meyer is going to be the first guy to quit. And these guys in Vegas, these are handicappers in Vegas. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, where are they getting this information? I mean, where is this stuff coming from? So, no, I don't believe any of that. Okay? But that's my opinion. I don't believe it at all. But when you're USC, you should be able to get the pick of the litter. Who is the best possible coach right now that you see in college football? And go get him. You know, I don't know. Is it P.J. Fleck at Minnesota? Florida State should have done the same damn thing. I saw a head coach ranking before the start of the year. They had Mike Norvell as the 67th best coach in college football. 67th. He was like the 8th best coach in the Atlantic Coast Conference. No, that doesn't work for me. Okay? And he went with the buddy movement. He got his guys on his staff at a cheaper price than it would have cost to go out and get themselves a real good defensive coordinator. So I don't think USC should get caught in that particular trap. They need to identify who is the best coach right now in college football that they can get and not reach for someone. I just think of David Coburn, the athletic director, who's nothing more than a bean counter with that smile on his, you know, that grin he had, like something was up his sleeve when a lot of people were reporting that Bob Stoops was coming. And he, remember how late that hire was? He let Mike Norvell, I don't even know what freaking conference he was in. Memphis-Cincinnati rematch. We're gonna sacrifice a full year of recruiting. Because we're going to allow Mike Norvell to go back and coach that. If you want him, you go get him. And you say you leave your team high and dry. Just like Phil Fulmer did years ago to David Cutcliffe before the national title game between Tennessee and Florida State. He said to David Cutcliffe, you want to go Ole Miss? You're gone. Go. We don't need you around here to get ready for Florida State at the Fiesta Bowl for the national title. You know, Bowden made that mistake with Mark Richt. Florida State doubled down and allowed Mike Norvell to make that mistake because of a rematch against freaking Cincinnati. So they started off miserably. And now it's only gotten worse.
All right. I'm seeing something here from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. He's saying that he got something according to a source. The USC job looks like it is Luke Fickell's to turn down. If he does, Bob Stoops might be waiting in the wings.
Ah, good. There you go again. Bobby's in L.A. doing work for Fox. He replaced Urban Meyer. That's right there called noise. Noise in your organization. Noise in your franchise. If that crap's going to go on, here's what you do. You go to Bob Stoops and you say, do you want to be the coach, yes or no? You can't allow that to hit. I'll never forget Dan Hicken going on local TV here one night talking about, oh, yeah, they got Norvell, but he was like the 9th choice. He said they tried to get Bob Stoops and James Franklin, and they tried to get Mark Stoops, and they tried to get Amos Alonzo Stagg, and they tried to get Bear Bryant. And he started listening to all the – he's doing news. So, and that's David Coburn's fault because he allowed that nonsense to build and build and build and build. Instead of announcing who your coach was, you allowed all these others to pull out and say, oh, I'm not accepting the Florida State job, or I'm not in the running for the Florida State job. Guys who weren't even offered the job were doing that to build their own brand. And what does it do? It hurts Florida State recruiting. And as soon as Norvell came on, those who recruit against him said, yeah, but to the recruits, look how many other guys they tried to bring in. You weren't the first choice. Identify and get it done. That's what USC has to do.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, I have a correction to make. I have been told that Eddie Money was a New York cop, not a Detroit cop. Imagine my embarrassment. Born and raised in New York. I don't know how I had Detroit in there. That came in from, let's see here, the 5833. Who's a plumber? Wonder how he runs his business. I bet he runs it better than Florida State does. I mean, that is just a poorly run business. And, you know, I've had a couple of you here, so let me get you correct, but you wouldn't fire Mike Norvell. I wouldn't fire Mike Norvell because it's not realistic. They can't afford to fire Mike Norvell. Do you understand that? They can't afford to fire him. They're locked in until at least the end of next year. So, if I had any say and they had the money, he's got. You can't come back from losing to Jack State. Okay? I mean, you just can't do that. You know, that's like being married to someone and you're caught in bed with your next door neighbor. There's no coming back from that. This is the worst loss in the history of that football program. And I know he's recruiting well. He's blown it. Here's one, 50, I don't want to get to that. That's Jag stuff. Ballew, I'm with you. I was planning on going next weekend. I'm not now. I'll save my money. Do you know what this does to my heart? Okay? The only way Florida State is going to survive is to sell tickets, is to make money, is to get the alumni to reach deep, to take the staple out of their wallet and spend. Who the hell is going to spend after what they did on Saturday night? And don't waste time by saying that I'm not, or anyone else who has this opinion, not a real fan. Don't real fan any of us anymore. There is zero leadership. Your athletic director sucks. Okay? Your president went out in the worst possible way. It's going back to the way look at how they handled Bobby Bowden. Look at what they allowed Jimbo to do. Now, Jimbo could coach. But Jimbo is like a colossal jackass. And he couldn't get along with the front office. He couldn't get along with Andy Miller, Seminole Boosters. He had to have everything his way, and he didn't. And he was a little punk. He was a child. He consistently prostituted himself out year after year after year after year after year after year. Is that seven? Is that 7 years? Every year, Jimbo did it. He wanted more. He wanted this. And remember them sticking out, oh, yeah, we'll show him. We'll fire Jimbo. We'll promote Odell. Let's go get Willie. And Willie can't coach. You got to fire him after Miami because they quit. At least against Notre Dame, they didn't quit. You know what? They quit Saturday night. Go look at Jamie Robinson. Look at the last play. Look at number 10. If he runs down the field the way you are supposed to run down the field, he makes the tackle. He didn't. He quit. So what are you going to do? Play him this week? Does Mike Norvell have no discipline on that? I see he kicked Dante Lucas off the team today. He was a problem anyway. All he did was eat and go to the bathroom 3 years at Florida State. And, oh, yeah, have a false start or seven every game. Get rid of those turds. Go watch this kid quit. Look for number 10. And what's going to happen to this football team if he's playing Saturday afternoon at Wake Forest? It's the only way the kid's going to get it. You got to discipline him. So would I fire Mike Norvell? Absolutely, I would fire him. This team can't afford to fire him. All Mike Norvell does is talk a good game. He's 3-8 as a head coach. He's never won a road game. Florida State's back in the same old boat. They're a 6-point underdog going to Wake Forest on Saturday. I mean, what's Wake Forest going to have? About 30,000? There's going to be some lovemaking on that berm with the rolled-out blanket and basket with some wine and some cheese. And they're going to be playing video games, and they're going to turn on Netflix, and then every once in a while they'll keep an eye. That's where Florida State's going, and they're a 6-point underdog. The only way, this loss is monumental. Think of the aura. Think of the pub. Think of the way that the needle moved when Florida State was crowned a moral victor over Notre Dame. You're damn right I was pissed. I don't believe in moral victories. As I've said many, many times, I was pissed at Wide Right 1, Wide Right 2. I was pissed at 87 when they didn't have Dion or Michael Irvin. They were down 19-3. Was the Canes. Came back and won 26-25. I'll never be able to get over the fact that Florida got another opportunity at him in 96 to win a title where Florida State was a 9.5-point favorite and lost in the Swamp in 97. I'll never get over crap like that. You expect me to turn around and give him a freaking moral victory against Notre Dame? I spoke with Gus Bradley yesterday. His kid almost won at Notre Dame. Under center. Notre Dame sucks. I told you that they suck. Do you realize that Jacksonville State lost 31-0 against UAB? 31-0. And they went into Florida State and beat them. This is the worst moment in the history of Florida State football. And I don't know what to tell you. The only way they can survive is to make more money. Saturday's loss is going to cost this team millions of dollars. Millions. And I hate it. Because as bothered as I am, I still love my school. I don't love the staff. I don't love the players. I don't hate them the way I did. I hated last year's team. I hated last year's team so bad. Those who made it to the NFL, I don't even root for them. That's so bad I hated last year's team. They were so selfish and egotistical and me. Oh, they brought back the team. You know, they flushed down the turds and all that. No. Same deal. Double-digit penalties every week. Mackenzie Milton's a nice story. He cannot throw a pass. He's got a terrible arm. Play Jordan Travis. Or you know what? Get ready for the future. Play Chuba. Or play Tate. McKenzie's a nice story, and I'm happy about it. He can't throw the football. So Mike Norvell, all right? Stop doubling down. Don't treat Florida State fans like they're idiots. They're smart. They got jobbed. It reminds me of growing up in the WWF, you know, when you saw Salvatore Bellomo come in or Tony Garea, and they get out to that early lead, and then all of a sudden, you know, Bano talks to one of the Samoans, and next thing you know, he takes a foreign object out of his trunks and gives him the big one hand. And it's a Pearl Harbor job, and Afa, a Sikh, one of the, goes on top for, you know, the pinfall. That's what you did to Florida State fans last week. The media sold you a horrendous moral victory. And the fans bought in. And on campus, they went and told, oh, you guys are the best. You nearly beat Notre Dame. You'll crush Jack. This is the worst loss in the history of Florida State football. And it's going to cost them millions and millions.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The great Eddie Money's gone. 2 years today. Underrated rocker, in my opinion. All right, I'm going to get to your messages here. We've received a ton of them on the text line, 641-1010. You got a lot out there tonight, though. You've been working hard with social media, 1010XL.com. What's the most popular bit that's out?
The most popular bit that is out right now is our poll question.
Should we fire Mike Norvell? Yes! We can't afford to!
I could have probably put that up. However, you can respond to us on Twitter at 1010XL or hit us up on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. It's Rick Ballew. It's Into the Night, a rather somber Monday.
No, it's just a typical Monday during football.
Following a couple of losses in football for one truth teller. So, what grade do you give the Jacksonville Jaguars following their performance against the Houston Texans, and where can they improve for next week as the team prepares to take on the Broncos?
All right. We'll check those responses before the end of the show. 5040 says, Blue is a Jag and Noel. It doesn't get any worse than this weekend. On the Florida State side, absolutely. For the Jags, even though I predicted them to win, yeah, I guess I'm shocked by, you know, the penalties and just how things went early on. But I can do the math right here. Florida State and Jacksonville combined last year were 4-21. I mean, think about that for a moment. 1-15 and 3-6. 4-21 in 2021 or 2020. So far this year, 0-3. So let's do the math. That's 4-24 in your last 28. Yeah. If you're part of that combo, ugh. I feel for you. 88-46. This is our Georgia Southern. What kid is going to commit to FSU Norvell after performance and coaching? Well, that is the lifeblood of your football team. Then again, transfer portal work now is going to be a big part of it. But they're off to a tremendous recruiting class. I mean, Travis Hunter's the man who's leading the way as a five-star, but I don't know what the other kids are going to do. I know there's a couple of legacies. I stay in touch with one of them quite a bit. I'm not going to say anything. I hope they stick with it, but my God. How do you get up off the mat after something like that? I mean, I just don't know what to tell you. Baloo, Miami needs to fire Manny Diaz and hire Lane Kiffin. FSU is never coming back. Miami's fat and bald, okay? I've been telling you that for a couple of years. Florida State will come back. It may take a decade. It may take 15 years. Florida State is going to come back. You saw what that crowd was like against Notre Dame. They were ready this year after the 3-6 disaster. A loss like this to Jacksonville State is going to cripple things. But they still will be able to come back. Miami's done. Okay? You don't regrow hair when you're bald. Don't hair treatment me. Okay? Don't weave me or toupee me or any of that crap. Miami's never coming back. They're permanently fat and bald. 51-32, Baloo, it was pitiful. I'm so poised. I'm so pissed I'm not watching college football the rest of the year. Go do something. Go find a girlfriend. Go play some golf. I remember the year, I remember Tebow's senior year, I was so pissed. I went and played golf. I had gone to like 20-something straight Florida State games, and that guy said, screw this. My buddy Vic from Chicago Pizza said, we got to – golf game out of Hammock Beach in Palm Coast. You want to play? I'm like, hell yeah. Eddie Money's our fourth, right? Go play golf. Enjoy yourself, man. Life's too damn short. 92-25. Hold up, Rick. We Jags fans spent thousands for the sorry-ass Jags. Hey, listen, it's 0-1 with this regime. Now, you as a fan, it's 0-16. But with this regime, it's 0-1. I will not allow you to give up on them after one game. And it was a disaster. It was a comedy of errors. I never saw it coming. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah. I mean, this thing's a train wreck. There's been one game here. Who was the... How come I can think of his name? The overfed. I don't think this is a Freddie Kitchens situation with Cleveland. I know when I put overfed and Cleveland in the same sentence, it could realistically be anyone, but I was thinking of Freddie Kitchens.
This time.
Too nice to say anything else.
I'm just glad you didn't say that one name that we say one time a show.
54-96 is Baloo. Thanks for being pissed at Florida State. That's why I don't have to hear about the Jags. Well, you know, I mean, I can't do the Jags 24 hours a day. Or 10 hours a week. No, 11. What am I saying? 11. Have you been fatigued? We've got that additional hour on Friday now. We're on 3 to 6 for the next 8 Fridays on AM only. I mean, our workload's gone from 10 hours to 11 hours. Do I sound tired now? Is fatigue catching up with me? I mean, that's an extensive, upgrade to my work. 11 hours a week.
Yeah, no, you don't sound fatigued. I know fatigue's catching up to me.
I didn't know if that trip back from Houston or something or anything like that. You know, if I sounded like, oh my God, is football almost over yet? Are you kidding me? I'm ready. No. Don't give up on him yet. Matt Rhule went 5-11 last year in Carolina. After pretty much a complete rebuild, here to both the defense. Looks like he's ready to eat. Time will tell. It's not going to be pretty, but as long as you can see improvement week to week. Yeah, I mean, I expect this team to improve immensely. Am I surprised they lost the game? No. Am I surprised they lost the game the way that they did? Yes. And he has preached accountability. I expect things to change as we move forward. I really believe that. You know, the reaction after the game, the reaction today, you got to take that for moments after the game and then 24 hours after. I think Wednesday will be a real interesting day with Urban Meyer. Look forward to that press conference. Get an understanding as to where this team is. As bad as everyone is or down as everyone is right now on that offensive line, let me take a break here. But lost in all of it? if the offensive line didn't commit penalties, they were able to run the football. And if you're able to run the football, you can do so many things on the offensive side. You got to stud a quarterback and he massive growing pains. But I loved his effort. I love the fact that he threw the football. So, yeah, I expect that side of it to be cleaned up. And Vic Fangio's got a good defense, a good run defense. But I believe Jacksonville will have success running the football this Sunday against the Broncos.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We don't have a show until 8 o'clock tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about going home. Keep Eddie on. I considered smoking some Toad, but I feel so much better now. I appreciate you allowing me to rant. I mean, I got it out of me, man. I feel good now.
That's what we do here.
You know, I feel like I'm 49 again.
Absolutely.
Are you trying to tell me I don't have to work until 8 o'clock tomorrow night?
That's what I'm saying.
I may go home to Blues Bar and do some things that I'm not able to share with you on the radio and stare at the stars and listen to Eddie freaking Money 2 years after his death.
That sounds like a party to me.
I'll have the game on, Ravens Raiders against... Talked with Gus yesterday for a couple of moments. Gus Bradley, the defense coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know if they make him better than him, but that's what we got. Tomorrow night, we come in after the Ladies of Helmets and Heels. Then Wednesday, 7 to 9. Thursday, live from Mr. Chubby's out in Ponte Vedra. I get the obligatory, oh, I've been planning to come out. I haven't been able to come out. Why wouldn't you folks come out when you got 2-for-1 drafts, 2-for-1 pitchers, that includes Miller Lite, $3 wells, $3 wants. Extended happy hour till 9. We're on 6 to 8. The Mangler is going to join me this week, Greg Huntington. He's all fired up after his Nittany Lions went into Madison, and they were jumping around and all that, and Penn State got it done in one of the ugliest football games you'll ever see, so... That's part of Thursday's show. Friday, again, for 8 more Fridays, 3 to 6 on the AM only. That's 1010. We will do it, Tim Brando, among others. Folks, I do want to thank you for all of your texts tonight. Again, the only way you can get a hold of me now, the show is over, is on Twitter, Blue1010XL. So get me there. For our producer, RJ Saunders, my name is Rick Ballew. Have a great night.